This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I have a lot of people to help me out today. First of all, we do have Carrie Kasem. We wouldn't do a show with Corey Feldman without Carrie Kasem. So we have Carrie on the phone. And I'm going to say hi to you, Carrie, and find out where you are in a second. But I do want to introduce who's sitting in your seat today, Carrie. It's Ben Mycelis. Ben Mycelis. Partner at Garagos and Garagos. Ben's been on the show quite a few times. He has an illustrious career as an attorney, and he just made headlines this past week by filing a lawsuit for his client, Mike Bolsinger, in the Astro scandal case. A lot of people heard about this lawsuit where Mike Bolsinger has sued the Astros for ruining his career. Ben also, of course, represents Colin Kaepernick, Akeem Alou, who was a victim of racial discrimination in the NHL. Colin Kaepernick, probably the same. Ben, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Thanks for having me on the show, Alan, and what a great introduction. And hey, Carrie, how are you?
Hi, Ben. Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for letting me have your chair. I appreciate it.
You can have it anytime.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Carrie, Corey left the room. He heard you weren't here live. And we don't know what Courtney, do you know where your husband is?
Took a bathroom break.
But a bathroom break?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Good. We miss you. I wish we could see you.
I miss you guys so much. And I have to make an announcement, okay?
Oh.
Because you guys walked into the studio and everyone's like, yeah, she's not here. She's been having health problems. Let me announce to our listeners and to everybody in the studio, my health problems went away in July and August. That's why I keep talking about the Cocoon oxygen, liquid oxygen here in Las Vegas and Los Angeles. It cured my Lyme disease in 6 weeks.
Wow.
So I am good. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I have energy. I have no more pain, no more brain fog. My memory loss is gone. So I am good. And I'm announcing that to the world.
Carrie, I'm so happy to hear that. Corey, can you hear?
Yeah, no, I was asking if there's extra headphones.
That's amazing.
Extra headphones. Yeah, we'll get you another headphone.
Thank you. But,
I would love to hear more.
I want to hear more, too, because I had to hear this from Corey Feldman and from Courtney Feldman. Courtney Ann Mitchell, we call her Corey Feldman. Courtney Feldman. Corey, what is your name? You came in and you said, Carrie is okay.
Yeah.
Carrie is okay.
Yeah. Well, I was very concerned because I got here and I expected to see her lovely, beautiful, smiling face.
Aww.
And instead, I'm greeted with these two gentlemen. I mean, obviously, it's Gervy's show. We expect to see him here, but I didn't expect to see another man in place of my lovely friend. So, anyway, I was shocked when I got here, and I was quite upset. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I've been bamboozled. This is a bit of shadiness going on here at the station.
It's my fault. It's my fault completely because I knew if I told you I wasn't going to be there, but I'm here. But if I wasn't going to be physically there, you wouldn't come and you would have disappointed.
That's right. I would have called in.
it's always good to be part of the bait and switch and to know I catfished you, Corey.
Exactly.
You officially were catfished by
fault.
Ben Mycelis.
I see.
Wait a second, Corey.
This all for me is a secret.
Ben represents some of the biggest clients, you know, with Colin Kaepernick. Some of the issues that you believe in, the Astro scandal, you were in the bathroom. I just said he's just filing a lawsuit against the Houston Astros and victims of racial discrimination. And he also has a sexual abuse case.
Yeah, we have a connection. If you remember Ricky Garcia.
Ricky Garcia?
Wow.
He is a vital part of our film.
So Ricky Garcia is my client. I filed that lawsuit. You reached out to Ricky and played a major part in him having the courage to come forward and tell his story about his sexual abuse.
What a brave young man. Yes. We have so much respect for his tenacity.
Oh, absolutely.
The fact that a child at his age, you know, I mean, he's a grown man, but he's still a child in many perspectives. And the fact that he has the tenacity and the strength and the balls straight up to be able to come forward with this type of information at his age, which is really unheard of. It's really unprecedented. Like, I did it because I was under pressure from the police who were at my house, you know, trying to basically grill me about another friend of mine. It was totally unrelated. And I literally only brought it up to them to show them the contrast of what a pedophile does and acts like versus what the person they were accusing was doing and acting like. And that was my big issue, was that, you know, they were saying it's Michael Jackson. And I'm going like, okay, but Michael Jackson never gave me drugs. Michael Jackson didn't wait till I passed out, and Michael Jackson didn't creep up on me while I was sleeping. Those three things happened from another human being, and I'm going to tell you the name of that human being. And they wrote it down. And then I said, let me say even more. There was another guy, and then there was another, and then let me tell you what happened to my best friend. I went on and on while the record was off. So on the record, they got the main name, and off the record, they got all the information. And they didn't even take the time to refer me to a local precinct. You know, that's how shady the whole operation was. They wanted to hear one name. That was it. And if I didn't have that name to report, they were not interested. Yeah. And well, let me say this. I was still within the statute of limitations at the time. So all they would have had to do is say, this is who you talk to at your local police station, because these people were from Santa Barbara. This is all you got to do. Call this number. Please make a report, because we need to help you with this. Right?
Right.
That's their responsibility, to protect and to serve. But they failed miserably at their jobs.
Well, look, it's through your inspiration, your story, you helping people like Ricky tell their story, that future generations of people who are victims are coming forward, who are advocating for themselves and for others. And I mean, look, we know for a fact that that manager who did that to Ricky is no longer managing some other people.
We do name him in the film.
Yeah, and we name him in the
lawsuit. And we want to talk about that, but I just got to, you know.
You know, there's six names in the film, and his is the sixth.
Really? We're going to talk about it. We need to talk about this. But poor Carrie. You know, I got to tell you something, Carrie. Corey just met Ben. And he forgot all about you.
That's right.
I
was looking into his deep blue eyes, and I completely forgot all about him.
He's happy here in Vegas.
You see what happens, Carrie? This is why you got to secure your job. It's called job security. Show up. It helps.
Go ahead, Carrie. We're just kidding. You know that. But you know, it is important that Ben talks about Ricky's case because it's
Ricky
part of the movie.
Very important. He's very important, and he's part of the movie. But it's important whether he was part of the movie or not. He's got a very important story to tell. And the fact, again, that, like I said, mine happened haphazardly, but his was very intentional. He made the choice to come forward as a brave young man and face these things. Let me give you some statistics and tell you why this is so special, because typically speaking, and these are scientific proven numbers, that most men who are sexually abused do not come to terms with it and face it to deal with it until they are between 52 and 58 years old. Those are the real numbers. Now, for women, it's 45 to 55. And for men, it's 52 to 58. So if you can imagine, first of all, the reason why the statute of limitations was always set at 21, well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they knew that there's going to be a 20-year gap before they even think about trying to get this dealt with, before they even think about it. And then it takes another 10 years to wrap your mind around the idea of actually doing it and doing something.
Let's ask Ben.
Ricky, hold on. Ricky did this on his own at 21.
But I want to ask him just what you're talking
That's
about.
That's important.
Statute of limitations on his case, Corey. Ask him.
Oh, well, his is fine, though.
Yeah, the great part is, because of the work you've done, Corey, the statute of limitations has been expanded and expanded.
Right.
And so now we're talking up to the age of 40.
45.
You know, which is fantastic. And it used to be mid-20s.
Yes.
As a result of your work.
And also, also the three-year look-back window, which is the most important part of the victory. The three-year look-back window, which now makes it possible for the men in my film to be dealt with. Now, I can't say this is the greatest law, okay, because we still aren't to a place where these men can be criminally prosecuted past the day. All this gets us right now is civil justice. And people say, why are you selling the movie? Why are you trying to make money? Do you guys realize that financial repercussions and financial retribution are literally the only ways that victims get justice? That's it. Because you don't have the option to lock them up anymore. So, again, the most important thing that can happen from this film is the trickle-down effect that we're hoping happens. That once we put these names out there officially on blast, on record, that we will never have to worry about them again. Because what's going to happen is, like with all the other cases we've seen, there's going to be a lineup of all of these people coming forward saying, me too, me too, me too.
Yeah.
And I know the guy who raped my best friend definitely has a laundry list of names waiting.
Undoubtedly.
Damage that he's done, you know, in his wake.
Are you talking about Corey Haim?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to fill in a little bit of the holes here because a lot of people are just joining us now. Tell us about the film and why you've decided to have it viewed the way you have, which is a very different approach.
It's a first.
To release. It's a first.
Yes. We are putting this film out in a completely and entirely new way. We are basically pioneering a new avenue for independent filmmakers and artists alike to be able to get their vision out directly to the people without the interference of the studios, without the interference of the networks, without anybody telling you what you can and cannot say or do. You, as the artist, now can follow my blueprint and do this yourself. We now have the ability, after what happens here March 9th when this movie goes live, we are having, and just so you understand, this is a one-time event. It is a one-time global live event. No film in history has ever premiered this way before. It will not be in movie theaters. It will not be on cable. It will not be on regular traditional channels. And so you think, well, then how's anybody going to see it? It's not even on YouTube. How are you going to see it? Well, I'll tell you how. Because I bought the bandwidth. That's what it's about. It's about doing it all yourself from the get-go. I paid for every penny of this movie out of my own pocket. I've done every bit of labor extensively and tirelessly from beginning to end and hired an incredible crew of amazing people who have been there day in and day out, working tirelessly, most of them for free, and if not for free, for very little because, you know, we did the movie on $300,000 budget. But that said, after the E&O insurance, it came out to, you know, basically a $1.7 million budget. So we're in deep, right? And here's the deal. The deal is, like, how do you make back that kind of money? Because documentaries historically don't make money. But that's why, first of all, everybody needs to understand, I put everything on the line for this. I took out a loan for $1 million. And you know what? If that's a sacrifice that I end up having to make, then I'll make it. But here's the deal. A lot of people are complaining already. Why only one time? You know, it's great for people in America because it's on at 8 o'clock. And then even on the East Coast, it's 11. So, I mean, like, you know, it's a weeknight, but I mean, okay, the deal is people stay up, they watch the late shows, you know, everybody watches, you know, the Tonight Show, all that stuff. Well, that's 11:30 to 1, right? So we're still in the margin of when normal people watch entertainment. But in Europe, it's starting at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, and people are buying tickets. People are taking the day off work because that's how important this movie is.
How do people buy tickets?
You go online to mytruthdoc.com. And there's a theater set up, and you just go to the box office and you buy a ticket.
For how much?
$20. $20, and you can be a part of the solution. And not only a part of the solution, but a part of history in the making.
And what are you going to disclose?
And let me explain why this is historical. Because never before in history have victims had a chance for their voices to be heard resoundingly across the world, live, getting everybody's attention at the same time in the name of justice. It's never happened.
But what are people going to learn? What are you disclosing that you haven't disclosed so far?
Well, first of all, I've disclosed pretty much most of it because I wrote a book. I did a movie for Lifetime. I executive produced, helped write the script. But you know what? They always chicken out. Every time I've tried to get the story out properly, which I promised my best friend I would do for him.
Corey Haim.
That is why we're here. Is because I made a promise.
And it's his 10-year anniversary
That's
of his
right.
death.
It's the 10-year anniversary of his death on March 10th, the day after the movie comes out, which means his soul can finally be at peace, knowing that the world will know his story on the 10th anniversary of his death. And I also have a brand new single. I don't know if you guys got the single, but I have a brand new single out today.
Really?
Yeah. And it's dedicated to Corey.
Carrie, do you have that?
And it's the end title track.
Yeah, he'll give it to me, I'm sure.
It's the end title track of the film. So it's the last thing you hear. And it's as the credits go up. And it's a personal message from me to Corey, basically saying that you are free and you no longer have to be bound to the shackles of the ghosts of your abuse. And this is his moment. So anyway, so the point being... This thing is so special because of that, because of the fact that so many victims and so many survivors will be represented. And in the film, we are going to, again, depict the same basic stories. But this time, the difference is there's no publisher. There's no studio. There's no network. No executives to tell me what I can and can't do. The only thing that's binding me at all is the legalities that I must abide by according to my insurance deal.
Okay. And I want to pick up on that. We had to take a break. And I also want to ask Courtney because she was telling me before we went on air about how Netflix passed on it and why. And I want to hear about that because it's really important as well. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-590-7516. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-590-7516. 800-590-7516.
Isn't it about time that your opinions had a home?
The home of Ben Shapiro.
Afternoons, 3 to 6.
AM 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right. We are back. And yes, you're going to hear the single from Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman has joined us with his beautiful wife, Courtney. And I'm here with Ben Mycelis. Carrie Kasem is on the phone. Back in December of 2000.
Not in person.
And I'll tell you a funny story, because on December 9th, 2017, Corey Feldman was supposed to be here in studio with us, but he had to go to New York. I think he was doing the Dr. Oz show or something. Or
speaking of Dr. Oz, it's on tomorrow.
It's on tomorrow.
Brand new episode.
The brand new on Monday. And that was the case December 9th, 2017. And he said to us, I promised you I'd be in studio. And because I had to go to New York, I can't be in studio. So I'm going to promise you that I'm going to come in next week. So he came in the week later, December 16th, 2017, a man of his word. And on that day, he said to us, I'm going to make a film. Right now, I don't have the financing. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I am going to make a film. Mark my word. Corey Feldman is a man of his word, because the film is My Truth, The Rape of Two Coreys, and it will be premiering. The only time it will be on the documentary is on March 9th at 8 p.m. L.A. time. And you can see how to get to view it at mytruthdoc.com, mytruthdoc.com. And Corey said he was going to make the film, and he did. Courtney, what happened with Netflix? Doesn't this seem like an opportunity for Netflix, or were they scared?
I mean, I can't speak for Netflix, but they basically passed on it because they didn't want to break the story. So I don't know exactly what the politics behind that would have been. I would imagine it would have been a money issue with the insurance, and it would have been very costly for them, like it has been for us. You know, we
nobody wanted to take the hit.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Do you know how many people know the facts of this story? It would shock you how many people. And I'm talking like every major interview from Megyn Kelly to the Today Show.
Dr. Oz.
To Oz himself.
And that'll air tomorrow.
Who all came up to me and whispered it in my ear before an introduction, before we went on. And they're like, am I right? And I'd be like, I can't tell you. But they all got it right.
Ben Mycelis. That's why you have to call it My Truth, parentheses, My Truth, right? That was part of it. It was for the legal reasons, right?
You got it.
That's what I figured.
Explain that.
Well, the concern being, if you're saying it is the truth generally, outside of your own views and what you've observed, the insurance companies would say that that could open you up for defamation or to other claims and causes of action.
And they wouldn't do it.
And they wouldn't insure you in the first place.
That's right.
What other legal hurdles did you run into?
Well, as you probably know, I can't discuss those openly.
You know. Well, we could still try.
We're at a point of contention right now. But that said, listen, there was a lot of stuff we had to cut. I mean, I'll be very real with you. There's a lot of good information, very important, solid, credible information that had to be cut, because we cannot even open the doorway, as there's going to be so many reasons people want to come after me already. But we can't even open the doorway by giving them an inch, because we have to know that they are going to launch on it. And the one thing I can tell you is if, for God's sakes, for some reason we have to go to court, we will win. We will win.
Because truth wins.
That's right. And you the last thing these guys want to say, sorry, Carrie, the last thing these guys want to see is their truth paraded out in front of the witnesses, in front of the jury, and in front of the judge.
That's so true. I remember this going on in 1994 when Corey and I were dating, and I mentioned that something about this person, I had no idea. I didn't know. I mean, I knew things that had gone in your life, Corey, because you had shared things with me. But I don't know.
And the Dominic thing,
Dominic Brascia.
Dominic Brascia. But there was something
we definitely get into that in the movie for sure.
Yeah, and you lived with him, Carrie, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, for about 8 months. We lived
with
together.
Corey and Dominic.
That's right.
Corey and Dominic, right? And so many things that were said about Dominic and Corey Haim weren't true. And I remembered because I remembered, you know, Dominic talking to Corey Haim on the phone several times. There were things that I just weren't matching up, and I remembered this, and it was really weird.
Weren't matching up based on what, Carrie? You can say it.
Wait, what? Say it again.
I said weren't matching up based on what, Carrie?
Well, just lies that the people were, I mean, look.
What people?
How about Charlie?
No, what people?
Charlie Sheen?
What people? No, I don't know.
There were people that were, I mean, look, Corey's mom, I don't know.
There you go.
She knew the whole story. I don't know if Corey Haim's mom really understood what was going on. I don't know her, so I'm not going to speak for her. All I know is that she was putting out certain truths to her that were not true. Like, she was saying, well, this is what I know. And I'm like, well, at that point, I was living with both Corey and Dominic, and I know Corey Haim called Dominic. I know they were friends. There was not hatred between them. And I witnessed it, so I could come out and
that
say that.
Is a big exclusive you just heard, ladies and gentlemen. That is a big exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
Because people need to know the truth. The truth. Not the painted version of reality that so many people in this cult have been trying to frame around this story. Frame for convenience.
Yeah.
But what Carrie Kasem just spoke right there is fact.
And Corey, you will be naming names.
I was there.
And you will be naming names in this movie.
Of course.
Why now? Why do you feel comfortable? Is there something specific about this thing?
Like I said, all the names have been said. They've all been said by somebody somewhere. I just haven't said them because I couldn't. My hands were tied.
Is it beyond, you've talked about Cloyd, John Grissom, Marty Weiss, Alfie Hoffman. Is it beyond that?
Those are the three that I've said.
Those are the three you've said. Right. And there are six of them. And Judy Haim has said that, and that's Corey's mother, of course, it said that she believes that it's Dominic. She doesn't want to go beyond Dominic.
Right.
And she is not part of the film. Is that correct?
You're going to have to watch the movie to find out.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to be watching.
Right.
But you will deal with her perspective.
Well, you'll have to watch the movie.
Carrie?
Find out. Let's say this. Of course, it's even-handed in the sense that I would never objectify an opinion. So therefore, yes, we do try to, as opposed to something like, say, Leaving Neverland, where there was no objectification, there was no opportunity for denial, we very much make sure the other voices are heard. And that's all we need to say. But that said, it's not just the names, guys. Everybody wants to focus on the names. But what's really most important is the details. That's why it took so long. That's why it took 3 years to get this done. Because you can't just go out there and blurt out a bunch of names. What good's that going to do? That's just public fodder. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't change anything. What helps and what changes is to lay it out, to show people this is why it's true. And now, once we've done that, the director, by the way, Brian Herzlinger,
right,
has done a fabulous job crafting this film. He deserves a lot of credit for this.
And yes. There's a nice little trailer that he has if you go.
That's right. If you go to my YouTube channel right now, The top video, besides the trailer, is an intro from Brian Herzlinger. For those of you who don't know Brian Herzlinger and his work, he is a fabulous family filmmaker. He does these movies, you know, for like Hallmark and Lifetime and, you know, that kind of stuff. Christmas movies and, you know, very family friendly, happy director guy, right? So this is really far off the beaten path for him. But his first film, ironically, was a documentary, and it was called My Date with Drew. And it was about him basically being a fanboy over Drew Barrymore and, you know, having this fantasy that he could get a date with her if he, like, filmed the whole thing and drove across the country and basically used the 6 degrees of Barrymore kind of idea, you know, and, like, how do I get to her? So he started by finding me and doing an interview with me about how to get to her. And that's kind of how it all started. So the film ended up being one of the biggest theatrical releases in documentary history, aside from like a Michael Moore film. But I mean, this thing was like in theaters across the world. And it was a little tiny doc that he did with a video camera.
And when he talks about your film, My Truth, he says how passionate he was to do this film.
Because he was friends with both of us. He got to meet Corey. He got to have several meetings with him. You know, he knew him. And so he was the perfect choice. He was the perfect choice. He knew how to do documentaries. He'd done them on Bare Bones with Gorilla's, you know, staff and crew. And he had the tenacity and the drive to do what it took to get to the bottom of things. Because one of the very first things I realized when I started this going down this road with all the, you know, stupid stories that were flying around, all the misconstrued perceptions of me and all this stuff, I thought, you know what? I guess we're going to a break. I'll tell you what in a minute.
What a great teaser. And we also want to talk about security as well. We're taking a break now. We'll be right back on Gervie's Law.
The home of Ben Shapiro. KABC. Los Angeles. Orange County. And KLOS HD2 Los Angeles.
The confounding coronavirus. I'm Evan Haining. Three national security officials tell CNN that another security official may have overstated an assessment of Russia's 2020 election interference during a classified Capitol Hill briefing. Correspondent Jeremy Diamond says one important nuance involves the Kremlin's attitude toward President Trump.
This is actually what the intelligence says. On the one hand, that Russia is indeed interfering in the 2020 election, and secondly, that Russia views Trump as a leader that it can work with. But the U.S. doesn't yet have the evidence to actually conclude that Russia is interfering in the election because they have a preference for President Trump.
Well, the coronavirus is still on the move. 8 deaths in Iran. South Korea reports 2 more deaths and 161 new cases. And in Italy, 3 deaths, the most recent one today. Italy's Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte is perplexed.
I've wondered myself why there are so many cases in Italy, all of which are suddenly discovered. I confirm that we have adopted a guideline of utmost care from the start. Among the Western countries where health protection standards are higher, we are the country that has adopted the most rigorous and meticulous measures.
Italy now has 152 cases. That's the largest number outside of Asia. Italy is scrambling to check the spread of the virus and has called off all carnival events and Major League Soccer matches in stricken regions. Even Milan's La Scala has been shuttered. Well, in California, murder charges have been filed against 2 13-year-old boys suspected of starting a blaze that killed 2 firefighters at a library. Police say they arrested the boys after they were seen running from the Porterville City Library shortly after flames erupted. The boys deny the charges and remain in jail. I'm Evan Haining.
Get it right.
K-A-B-C. Talk Radio 790 KABC News at 6:02. I'm Steve Cumming. 4 federal investigators have been dispatched to aid local authorities trying to determine what caused a charter bus to roll off the 15 freeway north of San Diego yesterday. Some passengers were thrown from the bus and 3 people were killed. National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Eric Weiss says investigators could decide to review specific aspects of the crash, such as the bus's roof, the driver, weather, and speed limits. If the NTSB conducts a full investigation, a preliminary report should be available within 2 weeks, although a final report detailing the cause of the tragedy could take up to 2 years. It won't be long before you'll be seeing a new bronze figure out in front of Staples Center.
The president of Staples Center, Lee Zeidman, told our friends at KTLA Channel 5 that a Kobe Bryant statue is in the works.
This is a fast-track statue. It's about a three-month process when you start from the clay and you do the mold and then you do the bronze.
Other statues out in front of Staples Center include Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar De La Hoya, Shaquille O'Neal, and Jerry West. Tom Looney, KABC News.
Checking the scoreboard in college basketball, USC lost in a blowout to Utah 79-65. KABC SoCal weather, clear skies this evening and tonight, areas of low clouds and fog overnight, and lows around 50. Redondo Beach is 62 degrees, Woodland Hills is 64, downtown has 65. KABC is your common sense election headquarters. Check in 3, 4, or 5 times a day to stay informed. Now a look at KABC traffic.
On the 10, the Santa Monica Freeway eastbound to Grand Avenue is a disabled vehicle blocking the left lane. It's holding traffic slow from Hoover Street. Norwalk with a problem on the 5 southbound at Norwalk Boulevard. That wrecks in the center lane. It's got you stop and go from Rosecrans. In Irvine on the 405 southbound before the 133, a disabled vehicle. That's sitting in the right lane. That's dependable traffic. I'm Randy Fuller, AM 790 KABC.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-590-7516. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-590-7516. 800-590-7516.
Get it. Get it. Right. AM 790 KABC.
I just sank when I felt your pain. You asked me not to tell a soul, so I locked it deep away.
All right. That was an abrupt ending.
Yeah, what was that?
It was great. I was waiting.
Could have done like a nice fade, something. Jesus Christ.
You know, I have to tell you, Ben Mycelis, his uncle is P. Diddy. I don't know if you knew that or not. And he grew up rapping. That was great. Great. What do you think about Corey and his song?
I like it, Corey. We got to collaborate, not just on the legal side of things, but on the music side.
Are you a musician too?
Yeah, I'm a rapper.
Oh, he's a rapper.
Cool. I got a little rap background in me in my earlier shows.
I would have never guessed it.
Yeah, P. Diddy performed at his bar mitzvah.
Very nice, very nice.
It was definitely memorable. And the first time I came on the show, they put on All About the Benjamins.
You
and
came
had
on
me
the
start
show.
Rapping.
All right, that's
yeah.
another show.
Yeah, that's actually, his father also, Kenny Mycelis, is a well-known music lawyer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's
but
cool.
It's a great song.
That's cool. Thank
and
you,
that's
thank you.
At the end of the film.
Yeah, the message is important. So
yeah, so we're talking to Corey Feldman.
If you pick up the single is out on iTunes, Spotify, Napster, wherever you get your music from.
It's out now?
It's out now. It came out yesterday. And I have to say this. We are doing a contest around the music. So pick up your copy. Because what we've just announced yesterday on a live stream, where we also plugged this show, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But we...
you called it the Greg Brady Show, didn't you?
No, stop that.
Last time you kept saying, I look like Greg Brady. I look like Greg Brady. And I said, you look like Corey Haim.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. but you really do. No, I'm joking. Maybe not so much. A little bit. There's a little comparison. But anyway, the point being, music is out. And what we're doing is, because I've been so busy, obviously, trying to get all this done. We're still not done with the film, by the way. We still are literally finishing post all the way up until the day of the screening.
Right.
I mean, that's how intense it is.
And that's March 9th.
March 9th. But the deal is that the song, You Are Free, I wanted to make a video, and I haven't had time. So I'm asking my fans to create the, it's kind of like the make your own damn video contest, but it's a you are free to make your own Two Corys video. And what I'm asking people to do is to listen to the lyrics of the song and reimagine what you would think a video of me letting this story go, or helping Corey to let this story go and letting him know that he doesn't have to be in this pain anymore. And I wish I could have told him that a long time ago, but I didn't have the maturity or the wherewithal to do that. But that's, in hindsight, what I wish I could have told him then. And now I'm telling it to him through this song.
Corey, is Hollywood getting better?
Hold on, let me finish. I'm in the middle of laying out a contest here. So anyway, what I'm asking everybody to do is to go and make a video and submit it to me. And we're going to take the top five videos that come in over the next few weeks, and we are going to post the top five contenders on my YouTube channel. And then we're going to ask people to vote. And the winning video is going to be played on the night of the premiere. We're going to try and sync it in so that it can be part of the live stream. Not sure if we can do that or if it'll just be at the after party, but it'll be premiered that night. We will put it on my YouTube channel. We'll put it on my websites. We'll put it on the My Truth Doc page. And, you know, basically, we're going to give away two tickets to the premiere. So if somebody enters this contest and wins, they're going to have to get themselves here because we don't have that much budget, but we will give you two free tickets to the premiere. So this is very exciting for fans. So please follow
it's
that.
It's called the premiere. It's the premiere and the end, because it's a one.
Right, exactly. Well, listen, that's not the end all be all. People say, why only once? Well, because that's all I can afford.
But the plan is that
I'm doing this myself. So here's the deal. And I started going into this before, but because people in the UK are having to watch it at such a messed up time, you know, it's 4 a.m. for them.
Yeah.
So they keep saying, come on, you got to do it. Please, please, please give us another option. I said, look, here's the deal. We got to sell 100,000 tickets. 100,000 tickets. That's my break even. So if we can sell 100,000 tickets, then I will have the capability to purchase more bandwidth, and I will do a second showing 15 hours later. So that's the goal.
You're going to easily get 100,000.
So far we've only sold 3,000.
Listen to me. You just because you need to do more press. That's it. As soon as people hear about this,
so everybody listening right now, please go to mytruthdoc.com and support this. It's only $20.
Why hasn't the major media, gotten it out there?
Thank you. Okay, here's another thing. All of this love, all this, you know, outpouring of affection, and the fact that we've got our trailer playing literally in like 50 countries right now. Okay, it's all over. But yet, not one single solitary mainstream media organization, besides from ABC, which is basically the only one that has supported us at this point, because Dr. Oz is on ABC as well.
Right, and Gervie's Law.
And Gervie's Law. That's
right.
Go ahead. So because you two people have supported us, we're hoping that this leaks to the mainstream, because the fact is CNN, MSNBC, Fox, CBS, ABC, all of the major news networks and all of the major newspapers, Los Angeles Times, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, none of them have reported it. Breitbart reported it. I'll tell you that. Breitbart reported it. And you know who else reported it?
Courtney, he's looking at you.
Next News. Next News.
Yes, Next News.
Yeah,
yes.
God bless him.
Yes.
God bless him. So there are people out there that are carrying the message. Okay, but not the mainstream. Why? Are you telling me that the rape of children in Hollywood is not newsworthy anymore? Is that what they're trying to say? Because if they are, I think that our voices need to be loud and clear. Everybody, please get your tickets to this one-time event. Because if we can sell enough tickets, then it can be a two-time event.
And I think there's some concern about security as well. You've talked about
Absolutely.
It. What is going to come out, and the people who may not be thrilled about the documentary, tell us what the experience has been with that kind of fear, and maybe why some of the media and some of the networks are kind of shying away from getting involved.
Well, you see my security here, right?
I mean, yes.
I've got security in the room.
He's a tough-looking guy.
Yeah.
Greg. Nice to have you here.
Don't say his name on the air.
Well, that's a fake name. Okay. Greg Brady.
Did you cough? Remember, Greg,
remember Greg Brady? Here he is, Greg Brady.
Anyway, so I have actually, you know, a team of guys that rotate. But it's very expensive. Very expensive to pay for.
Yeah.
Not just guards, but armed guards.
And it takes
away.
They must
have a CCW. To work for me.
And it takes away from the message that you are giving in this film. That's where the money should go.
That's
to
right.
educate.
That's right.
Not to.
I could be buying commercial space with
right,
all the money
instead
I've spent
of protecting.
On security. Right. And here's the crazy thing. Why am I the guy that's supposed to be afraid to fall asleep at night?
Right.
Why am I the guy that's got to have 25 cameras around his house and alarm systems and, you know, all this stuff, you know, guns, military? For what?
I didn't
do anything wrong.
I need to interrupt you. We have 1 minute left.
Uh-oh.
We need to really promote.
MyTruthDoc.com, premiering live, one time only. Your only chance to see it is going to be live all over the world. So no matter where you are, no matter what time zone, you have no excuse. You have the opportunity. The way it works is a streaming live broadcast. So what that means, folks, is that to see My Truth, The Rape of Two Corys, you go to mytruthdoc.com. You will find yourself a box for tickets. You click on the box for tickets. And as soon as you get that ticket, they'll ask you to create a login. You create the login. You'll get a verification in the email that you received your receipt. And then you just come back on March 9th at the time of the show. And you type in your login and you instantly have access. You don't need a code. You don't need anything else.
Easy.
And the most important thing is that you can also stream this, you know, anywhere that you've got the internet. So whether it's a phone, whether it's a laptop, whether it's an iPad or even Bluetooth to your projector or your smart TV, however you want to do it, you can watch it. It's
all
up
right.
to you.
Very good. We wish you all the best with it.
God bless you
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you for
we'll
coming.
Be
and
watching
Carrie,
it.
Carrie, you better get your ass to the premiere.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I know. I'm there. So is Alan. So is Genevieve. Me, Nico. We're there. Courtney, I miss you. I'll see you soon.
I miss you too, honey. We'll see you at the premiere.
All right. We love you.
And what
thank
about
you.
Ben? We need to get Ben at the premiere, yeah,
right.
too.
Ben, you got
Ricky going to be there?
You bet. You bet.
Ricky
all right.
Be there. Great.
All right. Yeah. We got Jerry Mitchell coming up after the break. This is Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-590-7516. 570-7516. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-590-7516. 800-590-7516.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
From Chavez Ravine to the Big A. Get it. Right. AM 790 KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, we're back. What a great interview with Corey Feldman. The movie premieres March 9th. You don't want to miss it. Go to Gervie's Law for more information. We are going to talk now about another hero, Jerry Mitchell. And he's a hero because he wrote the book, Race Against Time, A Reporter Reopens the Unsolved Murder Cases of the Civil Era. And John Grisham wrote about Jerry Mitchell. For almost two decades, investigative journalist Jerry Mitchell doggedly pursued the Klansman responsible for some of the most notorious murders of the civil rights movement. The book is his amazing story. Thanks to him and to the courageous prosecutors, witnesses, and FBI agents, justice finally prevailed. What an honor to have with us here on Gervie's Law today, Jerry Mitchell. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, it's great to be with you.
You know, it's really incredible. You tell of four stories in the book, Race Against Time, and people wonder, how were you able to find out, through your investigative reporting, all of this information that put the Klansmen away for these heinous, heinous crimes?
Well, a certain amount of the evidence already existed. Like, it was already, there had been trials in some of these cases before. There was a certain amount of information known. In other cases, there were, you know, additionally to that, you had some people that didn't come forward at the time. Perhaps they were afraid, or, you know, all these other reasons why they didn't, or maybe they were young at the time. There were a lot of reasons why they didn't come forward at that particular time. And so the passage of time actually helped you in that sense. So, and the families themselves, I think they were incredibly courageous and really amazing. They didn't give up, and they really just wanted to see justice happen. And so I feel very honored and humbled to have kind of captured that story and been a part of that story.
Jerry, you got Ben Mycelis here. In your investigative reporting, what was your, you know, biggest obstacle as you were trying to expose these stories? Was it the passage of time? Was it just trying? What would you say it was?
Well, the passage of time was probably one of the biggest ones. You know, you're trying to piece together a case, even if you're able to get, let's say, the FBI files or police files. You know, they're, you know, 30 years cold. And so, you know, sometimes witnesses have died, you know, other people have died that might have helped. So it's very difficult to piece together these cold cases after so much time. But you know, just some amazing things over time happened. You know, the Meg Rivers case, for example, you know, the odds were probably 1,000,000 to 1 against the case ever being reopened and re-prosecuted. There was no evidence, no murder weapon, nothing in the court files of any kind of value, no transcript. But Merle Rivers, the widow of Meg Rivers, believed, and she prayed, and some amazing things happened. A couple months later, Jackson police are cleaning out a closet and have to find a box that contained the crime scene photographs of the killing of Meg Rivers. A few months later, she shared with me her copy of the court transcript that she had saved in a safety deposit box. And a few months after that, the prosecutor found the murder weapon in his father-in-law's closet.
Wow.
Which sounds like I'm making it up, you know, but it really did happen. So anyway.
And didn't the shooting take place in the driveway? Why didn't anyone see it? You know, how did it take so long to figure out what happened?
Well, to be frank and honest, it wasn't. These were kind of like open secrets a lot of times. Like in that case is a good example. It wasn't known that Beckwith did the shooting. His gun was found near the murder scene with his fingerprint on it. And his car was seen nearby, and he was even seen in the days before nearby. So asking for directions to Meg Rivers' house. So it wasn't like a big mystery who did it. It was, and I think that's what made these injustices so terrible. It was not just that these guys got away with murder. It was the fact that everybody knew they got away with murder.
Well, speaking of that, what type of reception did you get from the police? I mean, were they happy that you were doing this? Did they feel that you were stepping on their turf? What kind of response did you get?
For the most part, authorities were okay with it, but there were times where they didn't like that I was doing it. And certainly early on, people in the community, I got a lot of blowback from people in the community who didn't like me, you know, digging into these cases and writing about them. You know, people calling me up on the telephone, what are you doing writing about this dead N-word? And threats, I had, you know, dozens of death threats and things like that along the way.
Is it true that you got motivated after seeing the really wonderful movie Mississippi Burning?
Actually, it is true. I saw it with two FBI agents who investigated the case and a journalist who covered the case. And so I knew nothing about any of that. And obviously, it's a fictional film. It really, unfortunately, you know, I think the civil rights veterans don't really get their due in the film, and kind of makes the FBI to be the heroes. But aside from that, it's a very powerful film. And the thing is that I walked away with is more than 20 Klansmen were involved in killing these three young men, James Chaney, Andy Goodman, and Mickey Schwerner. And nobody had ever been tried for murder. And that was something I couldn't get my head around. How in the world was nobody prosecuted for murder?
It's crazy when you think about it. You know, those are two of the cases in your book, Race Against Time. One that was really disturbing to me, obviously all of them are, but the story of the bomb at the Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, killing four African-American girls. I mean,
I know it.
How? How did you deal with that? I mean, just the emotional part, uncovering the truths in that one.
Yeah, it is emotional. I mean, I went over to the church, you know, that was bombed and kind of toured it right as, you know, I was kind of beginning to take up that story. And it's just, you can't imagine why in the world, you know, here's this, you know, the bombing of a church and these four girls are killed and a fifth girl was blinded in the blast, ended up losing one of her eyes. And of course, dozens of people injured, just absolutely horrific. And of course, the other thing to remember is this was not the first bombing in Birmingham. There were like dozens of bombings by the Klan, and nothing really had been done to any of those Klan guys. They were just able to operate with impunity.
And Jerry, I was going to say, you've interviewed some of the Klansmen, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. I interviewed in my book. I actually talked to all four Klansmen that kind of were convicted in these cases. All three of the four sat down for long interviews.
Wow.
That's correct.
But didn't you have a disturbing experience? I mean, I read some mm-hmm. of the remarks that they would make, and whether, you know, whether you could say they killed anyone or not, just sound like despicable people the way they spoke about people.
And they were very, very racist, all of them. And especially, I guess, Byron D. LeBeck with the assassin of Meg Rebers. And he was like, N-word, you know, just hardly racist, N-word this, N-word that.
Wow.
And then they started in on other races, and he was horribly anti-Semitic on top of that. Just, he's part of what's called Christian identity, which takes a while to explain. But essentially, that philosophy has been responsible for a lot of violence in the United States, including, I believe, a daycare in California where Jewish children were killed as well.
So, anyway,
that's what he believed. And so when I got done interviewing him, he's like, you know, it was one of those people that you feel like after you got done, you need to go take a bath. You know what I mean? It was like one of those kind of interviews, and maybe you guys have done some of those, but
yes,
it's done. And it was dark by this point. He insisted on walking me out to the car, and I'm like, really? You know, that's okay. You know, I think I can find my way. He walks me out to the car anyway. He gets me out there and says, if you write positive things about white Caucasian Christians, God will bless you. If you write negative things about white Caucasian Christians, God will punish you. If God does not punish you directly, several individuals will do it for him.
Jeez. It reminds me of Pascal's Wager. It's fascinating stuff. The book is called Race Against Time. It's by Jerry Mitchell. And I'll tell you, the reviews are incredible. In the Star Tribune review, it says, in his book, Mitchell never portrays himself as a hero. Readers, however, might correctly conclude that hero is an appropriate word. Congratulations, Jerry, on this book. Everyone
Thank
should
you very much.
Everyone should read the hero's book. Race Against Time can be found anywhere where you get your books. Thanks for being with us on Gervie's Law today, Jerry.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Next week, we have three judicial candidates here in L.A. County. Troy Slayton, he will be live. Kari Harper will be live. And Emily Cole, right here on Gervie's Law. Don't miss it next week. Thanks, Ben Mycelis.
Thanks for having me here.
Great to have you. See everyone next week.
This show was furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.